This is Radio Kate here at the Radio Festival 2010, and we've just had, we're actually sort of having the party at the moment, sponsored by PPL, I suppose I should put that in, shouldn't I? And I have snatched somebody from the room, and that somebody is Phil McGarvey from Radio 2, and he's working one of the sessions tomorrow. He's actually just pulled out of his pocket the notes to prove how hard he's been working on the session. So come on, tell us all about it.
Tomorrow I'm producing So Radio Festival, which is Mark Goodyear in conversation with Graham Norton, who, as a lot of us will know, has just started his own Saturday show on Radio 2. And the point of the session, I think, is to kind of show Graham as a radio personality, because everyone knows him on TV from, you know, back to Father Ted and Camel Knowledge, Jack Doherty Show, right through to So Graham Norton and his latter BBC work, Eurovision, his own chat show, etc., etc. But what we want to get across is Graham, this radio personality, because if people think that Graham is just a Johnny Come Lately to radio, well, actually they're wrong, because he's been doing radio for 16 years, and he actually started as a broadcaster. He'd been doing stand-up, he'd been doing acting, but his first real steps into broadcasting were on Loose Ends back in about 1994. Emma Freud did a report on him, which then led to him getting work on Loose Ends, doing interviews of his own, and he contributed that for years, and indirectly led to him getting the gig depping for Jack Doherty on his Channel 5 show, which then led to Graham Norton, TV personality. So Graham has actually been doing Radio 4 Loose Ends, just a minute, for about 15 years. He's doing some depths on Radio 2 the last year and a bit. Now he has his own show. So we want to talk about radio, Graham the radio personality. We all know him on TV, so we want to know what he loves about radio, why he got into radio, why he's decided to do radio now, the challenges of being a radio presenter versus a TV presenter, the production differences in terms of how you create it, how he feels about following in Jonathan Ross's footsteps, all the kind of little issues around that. And hopefully that will come out in the session, and we'll do a little Q&A at the end where people can ask the questions. But hopefully we'll get to see a different side of Graham and understand a wee bit more about the man. And he's a very funny man, but he's actually a very, very serious broadcaster, and hopefully, you know, we'll get some serious answers, but hopefully a couple of laughs along the way as well.
So you actually work with Graham on the radio, do you?
I work with Graham on his Saturday show. I've worked with Graham on all his Radio 2 shows, going back to when he sat in for Steve Wright last summer. I did 2 weeks sitting for Steve Wright. And he's did 4 weeks altogether this year, working, depping for Chris Evans on Breakfast. So I've worked with all of them. So I've got to know him a wee bit. And yeah, I mean, the nice thing I can say about Graham is he's exactly as you'd imagine him to be. He's nice, he's down to earth. And like some people in the radio stratosphere, he's not all about him. He is very interested in other people. And I think what you'll get tomorrow is a very honest session. I don't think he'll hide. I think he'll answer any questions. I think he'll be forthright. And yeah, I think he'll hopefully change a couple of people's opinions, because from certain quarters, people say Radio 2 is obsessed with celebrities. I would say to them that Radio 2 employs great broadcasters, and I don't think you can argue with Graham's credentials. He's not just a TV man who's been transplanted into radio. He's done radio. And I think the two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. So if you can be a good broadcaster and be on radio, he's not going to be able to back time in his head and be super slick like other people, but that's not necessarily what Radio 2 have hired him for.
I mean, there has been over the last few years, we've seen more and more and more television people just being sort of plumbed in straight into radio stations. And I think maybe it's quite hard for new radio talent to emerge, because it's almost as though you have to be on the radio, you have to be on the television to become a big star, and then you get picked out and put on the radio. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're a good broadcaster. So, I mean, would you say that Graham understands the difference between what it is to be a good television presenter, which he obviously is, and what it is to be a good radio broadcaster? I mean, I think they are quite different.
Yeah, they are, but I think essentially it's about connecting with the audience. And taking your point, I think you could say there's more TV broadcasters than radio, but you wouldn't necessarily say that's to do with any particular one station. You could say that there's a dearth of local talent coming through from commercial radio, and the fact that everything is centralised now. There's no local talent coming through. certainly in a lot of stations, personality isn't encouraged. So it's hard to find these new talent. But I know for a fact that BBC have teams of people out looking for new talent, listening to local radio, listening to new talent. So I think if you've got the talent, the opportunity will come along. I think from the listener's point of view, they're less concerned with where the person's came from as opposed to whether they can connect with them. And Graham has a great connection with the audience. Where I think Graham's strength are is talking to people, whether it's an interview, whether it's someone on the phone, whether it's responding to a text. He just has this connection. He has this great gift of being able to slightly take the mic, but always keeping the person on side. You never feel like he's victimising someone or being cruel to them. Everyone's in the joke, and he can stand that line very, very well. And I think what you'll see, or what hopefully we'll see, is if you look at Graham 10 years ago, 15 years ago, his stand-up, his TV, he's matured as a broadcaster. I wouldn't say he's more of a family broadcaster, he's kind of changed his act, but he just understands his audience a bit more. And I think what comes across, hopefully, in the Saturday show is it's someone that everyone can connect. He's a funny guy, he's a nice guy, and I think if you can connect with the audience in radio and TV, that's a skill that can translate.
I mean, I take your point that the audience themselves should be less bothered about whether somebody's a TV or a radio person. But, I mean, I think there is definitely a difference in the way that you present. I mean, if you're on television, quite often you're sort of talking at people, whereas for radio to really be at its best, I think the listener needs to feel a part of that conversation. You know, it's the old story of, you know, the empty chair in the pub, and whoever the radio presenter is and whoever their guest is or their crew, their zoo, whatever, you know, that person in the extra chair needs to feel included. And I mean, I don't know, when I listened to Russell Brand on the radio, I actually felt quite, you know, I didn't feel like he was talking to me. He was having his own little party, and I was sitting at that chair in the pub going, hello, I'm over here. And I, you know, and that's more of a TV mindset, I would say. But I don't know, what would you say to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Russell Brand's a different case. Russell Brand has a very certain kind of audience, and he had a very, you know, loyal audience on Radio 2. Obviously, that time has come and gone. Graham's only three shows in at this point, so it's a different case. But I know from the texts and emails we get, not just now, but from when he sat in for Steve, when he sat in for Chris Evans, that he does connect. And we specifically looked at Graham's strength, and if you look at the features in the show, there are always opportunities for people to get involved. You know, we have features, I Can't Believe It's Not Better, Grill Graham, Tune With A Tale. Everything he's done on Radio 2 has some kind of level of interactivity. It's not just about Graham going, look at me. So that's what I'm saying, that's what Russell did, but it's...
But I mean, so Graham does... Graham Norton is happy with the idea of talking to one person as opposed to the many as it is on telly.
Yeah, and I think that is the success of any radio broadcaster. They will tell you that they are talking to one person in the country, and it's like they're personally talking to you. And throughout his TV shows, he's always interacted with the audience. He's you know, he's picked out one person. So I think with Graham, some people just have a way of talking to people, old or young, famous or not famous. Graham just has this gift, and I don't think anyone feels excluded listening to his show. As I say, it's only 3 weeks in, but having worked with him quite a lot, I just think he has this gift where everyone, you know, the texts we get from all age ranges, the emails we get from all different kinds of people, and it's a show everyone can enjoy, for me. But you know, I guess I'm going to say that, aren't I?
Well, okay, let's give you a chance, give it a plug. So 3 weeks in, big shoes to fill. Why should people listen to the show?
People should listen to the show because Radio 2, we play great music. We play music you might not expect. There will always be tunes you haven't heard for a while. There will always be tunes that stop you. There will be tunes that you go, well, I don't know if I like that, but I see why they're playing it. There, we have great guests. We have Graham interacting with the audience. It's Graham, as you know, but not. it's not a replication of the TV show. It's very different because radio and TV are very different. It's live for start. I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying the TV show isn't live. So it has a more kind of organic feel to it. It's like with any good radio show, the audience can take it in a different direction. You know, they're texting emails.
And you're happy to respond and actually, work with them.
I think Graham is at his best when he is responding to stuff that's just coming in. I mean, I think that's something that works really well. It's taken the order, it's taken every day, and I get a lot of emails back, and I see a lot on Twitter because I follow lots of people on Twitter, including you, and I see people going, I can't believe Graham read out my email, this is great. And you know, Twitter's not necessarily representative of the radio audience as a whole, I understand that, but the feedback we get is very positive. So
that is always one of the strengths of radio, though, isn't it? Is that, you know, if your text, if your phone call, if something gets read out, then it's just really special to a listener. I think in a way that it just isn't on television.
Yeah, and I think as his producers and programme makers can take that for granted. You know, I've been there. You know, I remember getting my first text read out on Radio 1 10 years ago and been very excited by it. I mean,
I was on air with Chris Moores once, and he took the mickey because I lived in E17, and E17, the band, had just stopped being, well, I'm not sure if they ever were cool, but if they were, they'd just stopped being that. So he laughed at me and I felt a bit embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, we're possible. You know, it's like any show, you can't read out everything, but we want to represent our audience. And unlike Jonathan Ross towards the end, and obviously we know the reasons for that, this show is live, and I think that's a big selling point for this show. I think the BBC trusts Graham. We've moved on with compliance, hopefully, and we have a great system in place, and we all know what we're aiming for. We all know the limits. I'm not saying that Graham won't push it slightly, because, you know, this is Graham Norton, but it's a family show. I know it's 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I don't think you're going to hear anything. If you turn into Graham Norton and you're slightly offended, I think possibly you haven't heard Graham Norton before. And yeah, it's like I say, it's came a long way in 15 years. I'm not saying what he was doing 15 years ago was wrong. It's just different. He's just a different broadcaster, and I think there is something for everyone. We get emails from all different age groups, and the music's, we play two upfront tracks every week, brand new music as well as the kind of, you know, classics from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So I think there's a really good music mix, and Graham is a really big fan of music, and that's maybe something that doesn't necessarily come across on the TV, because you have one act but he doesn't get to talk about it, so he gets to enthuse about his records. And you know, this is music radio. The Radio 2 is built on broadcasters who are passionate about the music, and Graham came from TV, but he's no different. He loves his music. You know, he really loves his 80s, and I think that's reflected on air.
Great. So what time should we, and where should we be to hear your session tomorrow?
12 o'clock in the Compass Room. We're following Bob Shannon, so no pressure there that my boss is going to be in the room watching our session. Yeah, and so it's In Conversation with Mark Goodyear, who's hosting the session, and we're going to have a bit of a Q&A at the end. So come along if you've got burning questions for Graham Norton that doesn't involve Father Ted. Even if it does involve Father Ted, feel free to come along. It should be nothing less than entertaining.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.